All right, brothers and sisters, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bible, Brother Dave's got the text for you today. It's Acts 2, 14 through 21.
Let me see. But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, and this by known to you, and give ear to my words, for those people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was interpreted through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, or vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and marvelous day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right, let's thank God for his word. Father, thank you once again for this chapter of your word, for the record of the first address that Peter made to the Jerusalemites on that day. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you have to show us and teach us through this wonderful sermon. We pray, Lord God, that today you would instruct us regarding things to come, and where we stand with you. And in Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Okay. All right, so like I said, Acts chapter 2 contains Peter's famous Pentecost Day sermon. And as we saw last time, he begins here by referring to the words of the prophet Joel in order to explain what is this remarkable phenomenon taking place here in full view with all these men and women speaking all these languages that all of the visitors to Jerusalem speak. And he's telling the crowd that this is the fulfillment of those words. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy and see visions and dream dreams, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're an inquisitive listener, you might say, well, wait a minute. If this is the fulfillment of that, the first part I get, right? But where's the signs in the sun and the moon, and where's the blood and fire and pillars of smoke and so on? Those things didn't happen on Pentecost Day. And I have to say, as a younger Christian, this kind of bugged me that Peter's saying, you know, this is the prophecy being fulfilled when, you know, it doesn't say anything about signs and, you know, those sorts of things taking place. So it wasn't all fulfilled, was it? But on the other hand, you know, nobody called him on it. On the other hand, you know, he's not lying. He's presumably not making stuff up. And, you know, one would assume that since he's filled with the Holy Spirit right at the moment, he's not just plain wrong. So what's the explanation? Okay, where's the signs in the heavens and the sun and the moon and all of that? Okay, so for starters, let's not forget that the apostles are certainly aware that the end of the world or judgment day or the day of the Lord is not immediately upon them right then. Okay, they know for a fact that they're just beginning a project that Jesus had told them will eventually span across the globe. And a project on that scale, no matter what it looks like, surely is going to take a lot of time. They know that this Pentecost event, this outpouring of the Spirit, signals the beginning of something and not the imminent end of the age. Okay, so the phrase, though, in the last days, which Peter uses to us in our day, it tends to grab the listener and imply to them that there are very few days left, Right? When you hear somebody say, we're in the last days, what do you think of almost automatically? You know, you say, oh, I wonder how many days we're talking about, because the world has, you know, existed for a vast number of days. And if we're in the last ones, we must be talking about some kind of comparatively short period of time. So like what, a couple of years? You know, who really knows? But the way that you say that, we're in the last days, makes it sound like probably sometime in our lifetime. And that results usually in an intense sense of urgency or hurry, right? Christians have to be in a hurry and their listeners have to hurry. You know what happens, though, when you get in a hurry? You usually end up making poor choices that are poorly thought out, okay? Because you lose perspective and you lose patience. Then you come across a thing like this. You know, it's spoken 2,000 years ago. Here's Peter saying, this is what Joel said about the last days, and this is now being fulfilled. And you say, well, you know, either Peter was wrong about it being the last days, or the only other option is maybe the last days doesn't mean what I thought it meant. Okay, well, I will have to tell you first that Peter was not wrong, was he? And of course, there's plenty of modern commentators who think that, you know, they know better than the Holy Spirit, they know better than Peter, and they like to say that, well, Peter didn't know really what he was talking about. He was just kind of getting creative in his use of the scriptures for dramatic effect. You know, and even Joel, you know, he didn't mean like literal blood and fire and billows of smoke and, you know, signs in the sun and moon. It's just exaggeration. It's for effect. And so, all right, how about if, before we assume that Peter is a poor interpreter of the scripture, how about if we first try giving Peter some and the Holy Spirit some credit instead of accusing them of misusing God's word? And let's do a little bit more homework, and maybe we'll find out that the last days means something more than, you know, the very few last days right before the end of history. Okay, so if you follow that thread a little bit, you will find out that the phrase is able to mean simply the last dispensation of history. Okay, all of the preparatory work, all of the groundwork that God had done, all the work that he had done before the coming of the Holy Spirit, that's all now been completed, and so this, we are now entering into the last main stage of God's operations in the world before he accomplishes his full purpose. So this gospel era, this project of propagating the message of Christ and the knowledge of God from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the nations of the Gentiles, all around the world, that is the last stage of Revelation history. Okay, after that, God is going to step in and call the world to judgment, and he's going to put all his enemies under his feet. In other words, we should not expect another greater or deeper revelation from God still to come, if you like. You know, another covenant or another evolution of God's program. Okay, so Christianity is not a stepping stone to something, well, I guess we kind of talked about it in Sunday school, something deeper, something higher, you know, something yet to be revealed. There are people who have this theory that, for example, Jesus and Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha and, you know, the Dalai Lama and so on, they're all individual manifestations of a greater, like, Christ being or Krishna being. And each of these individual men have manifested themselves around the world. And someday we'll all find out that all worshipers were worshiping, you know, the same greater, like, Christ figure, whoever he is. But this is the last stage, okay? If you don't get on board with Jesus the Messiah, there is not something further that will be revealed, okay? This is, theologians call it a dispensation, which is kind of a technical word, and not everybody really knows what it means, but really we're just talking about a stage, if you like, okay? We've seen how all of the scriptures, all the history of Israel as a chosen people led up to Jesus, from Abraham to Moses, David, the prophets, the priesthood, the worship, the law, the kingdom. Okay, all of that is God laying groundwork, and it's all preparation. Remember how Jesus said, all of those things testify to me. They all testify about me. Right? You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but they all testify about me. So with the ascension of Jesus now to God's right hand and the sending down of the Holy Spirit, the last stage has begun, which specifically is let the whole world know. Okay? So in the last days, according to Joel, okay, the last days spans the whole length of this dispensation. Okay, this thing that happened on Pentecost was not the total and complete finished fulfillment of Joel's words. What you see here is the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel's words. The complete fulfillment of it will involve the span of the whole length of this new dispensation. Okay, do you get what I mean then by dispensation? You know, like I said, it's kind of a technical term. You don't use it in everyday talk. Okay, but it's a stage in God's, the progression of God's program. So like when God called Abraham and made a covenant with him and made him a promise, that was the beginning of a dispensation, right? There's this age of promise, an age of expectation. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai to the Israelites, right? There was a new dispensation. God has this new way of dealing with his people. So here, there's this big shift. Now we're in the final stage, and the focus in this stage expands to encompass the whole human race and not just the one nation of Israel. Okay, all that went before is preparatory, but now this is the, if you like, the main quest, okay, which is to save the human race. Okay, let the whole world know. So, last days, when you hear the phrase in the Bible anyway, the last days, it shouldn't be thought of on the scale of a few days, or even a few hundred days, or even, say, two decades, or something like that. The last days, biblically speaking, began with the ascension of Jesus and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that event marked the commencement of a new age, if you like, or a stage, or an era. And it really is the last stage of God's program. Nothing in our day, nothing has qualitatively changed ever since the day of Pentecost about the terms on which God deals with man. Nothing has changed about the nature of the church's mission, nor will it. Okay, the same gospel is to be preached today as it was on that first day. The same offer is to be made to men and women as it was on that day. Right, and Jesus said as much to his disciples before he died. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will, what? Be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Okay, so this stage or project of preaching is what started on Pentecost Day and still continues now to the present, and then what? Then the end. Okay, so these are the last days, but don't panic. Okay, the last days have been going on now for nearly 20 centuries. Okay, and as for Peter, Peter was not mistaken. Peter was not delusional. Peter was not expecting the apocalypse to happen like any day soon, could be any moment type thing. He'd heard what Jesus had said, both before he died on the cross and then after he was raised. Go to the ends of the earth, right? Go to the whole world. And, well, that's going to take a while, okay? And I know Peter hasn't forgotten this within, you know, a few days of the Lord telling him you're going to go to the ends of the earth. So what's encompassed in Joel, when Peter quotes Joel, is the span of the last days, so-called, okay? The span of the whole dispensation from Pentecost until whenever that great day comes. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that's the same thing we have today. Okay, this that you see here, says Peter, indicates the commencement of that span of time. The last days have begun. Before that span concludes with the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God will show signs in heaven above and on the earth blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And Jesus himself had said as much I think it's in Luke's gospel. Yeah, it's Luke 21. Okay, Jesus said this: there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of what's to come on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Right? It's not for exaggeration. Jesus is saying the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because then your redemption is drawing near. Okay, that is exactly in line with what Joel is saying. And it helps us understand this passage in Acts 2, because we see then that the signs and the tumults and so on are going to come at the end, toward the end of the dispensation or the end of the stage. Okay, when these things begin to happen, start looking. Okay, so Peter's not exaggerating for effect. He certainly was not just plain wrong. Obviously was not suggesting that any heavenly signs were taking place right there on that day when everybody knows they clearly had not happened. If we look carefully at his words, what we see is that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all manner of people, that is the characterizing mark of this stage of God's plan. Okay, and it continues to be, because whosoever confesses Christ and is baptized in his name receives the Holy Spirit. The same thing still happens. Before the end, the signs of the kinds of things that the prophets describe and Jesus too described will occur to warn the world that the end is upon them. Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is that the main mental adjustment that, you know, a person today would have to make, because we're so soaked, I think, in prophecy talk, when we read Peter's words here, is don't read into them a current day meaning of the phrase "in the last days," as though it means that short period right before the apocalypse and the return of Jesus. Okay, Christians love talking about future prophecy, and TV preachers and authors love talking about end times, last days, and, you know, they get people stirred up and you know, they say, "Look around, everybody, can't you see these are signs of the last days?" Okay, and people start getting panicky, and when you get panicky, you start to make poor decisions, bad things happen. So kind of in a different vein, but a similar sort of thing as we've been talking about in Sunday school, false teachers gain an easy audience on people when they're uncertain or when they're anxious. When people are frightened or anxious, they go looking for guidance and safety. And, you know, there's plenty of teachers willing to provide that and gain a following, and more often than not, gain access to pocketbooks and wallets. Okay, people start looking for miracles and signs, and they get taken in by counterfeit miracles and signs, seeing miracles and signs where no such thing is really taking place, because they're eager to see them, because aren't these the last days? In my mind, this is how the whole 20th century Pentecostal movement got started. Because even 120 years ago, people started looking how the world is getting so bad, is getting worse and worse all the time. And people concluded that the apocalypse must be coming soon. So these must be the last days. Don't you agree? And everybody says, "Yes, I agree. The world is so terrible. And so therefore, don't we expect a renewal of the words of Joel about the last days and another outpouring of the Spirit?" And so we look for more speaking in tongues and other wondrous things. And they say, and oh, look, what do you know? Suddenly everybody's speaking in tongues, thereby proving to themselves, anyway, that the apocalypse is right around the corner. Okay? But instead of propagating the gospel, they're propagating theatrics and signs and wonders and other shenanigans and saying it's the Holy Spirit. Right? Are we in the last days? Well, not in the way that you normally think, okay? Not in the way that you're accustomed to thinking. In the way Peter meant it, yes, but he was in the last days, right? You see what I'm saying? The last days began with the coming of the Spirit, Okay, you will know when we get down to the very end. You will know, right? Jesus said, you will know unmistakable things are going to take place. And I mean real, undeniable ones, not bogus ones like we had about 6 or 7 years ago with the blood moons. Remember John Hagee and the blood moons and all of that? And you were supposed to think something is about to happen? Okay, forget it. Jesus said that the world getting worse and worse is not a sign of the approaching end. Okay, wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes, persecutions of Christians are not telltale signs that Jesus is coming is near. Okay, those things span the whole period. Okay, you know, Peter said in his second letter, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own carnal desires. But he's talking about the whole age, the whole span of the dispensation, not just, you know, Peter's not talking about some time, you know, 20 plus centuries off in the future. What good would that do to his readers? Okay, Peter's not making a prediction about the distant future that would have no impact on his audience. Scoffers were there already, and false teachers were there already when he wrote the letter. Okay, when he says in the last days scoffers will come, he's talking about his own days, his own audience, and saying you need to be paying attention because these are the last days in the first century. Okay, and he was right. The whole span of the age has been full of plenty of false teachers and scoffers, and of course it still is. Same thing with Paul. When Paul says, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, when he says that there will be terrible times or perilous times in the last days. Okay, he's talking about the whole span, not just some theoretical 3.5 years way, way down the road from himself. Okay, you just read history and see that it has been perilous throughout. Okay, men have been lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, blasphemous, boastful, proud, ungodly, unholy, brutal, etc., etc., the whole list, all of the time that the gospel has been going out into the world. Okay, and Paul was not writing to Timothy about some far distant last days, because what good does that do for Timothy? Okay, Paul is saying, you've got to be looking for these things now. You've got to be turning away from such people because this is the last. Okay, we shouldn't say days because that makes you think of us on a scale of days. This is the last stage. John said it's the last hour. Okay, but he said many antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Well, was John wrong? Well, it's you have to read what he meant. Okay, there will be perilous time. Of course, our time is perilous. Okay, it's not news that our time is perilous. Because the whole world, as John wrote, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. It was back then, and it still is, right? That statement has been true for the whole span, right? The whole 2,000 years has been characterized by man's wickedness to man, man's deification of himself, man's sin, man's corruption, okay? But it's into that last age. It's into that a corrupt age that God commissions his spirit-filled messengers to go and present the gospel. Okay, now, like I said, all that came before was preparatory with this in view, that starting on Pentecost Day, the real finishing work is going to begin, that messengers are going to go out into this corrupt world with good news of a full pardon, a savior, a rescue out of this awful swamp of a world that we live in. And that messenger mission is still going on. It's come down to you and me. And it's hard work. And it takes perseverance. It takes endurance and wisdom. And it takes patience. And it's not something that can be done in a hurry. Okay, it requires a long-haul mentality. You get what I'm saying? What it really requires is for us to focus on the gospel itself rather than on suppositions and conjecture about, do you think we're really close to the end? How close do you think we are? Well, who really cares, I have to say? Who cares how close we are to the end? We're supposed to be working for the master right up to the end. Right? Jesus said, blessed is that servant whose master finds him working when he comes. Really, what difference does it make whether we're close to the end? Okay? This is the last stage. That's really all you need to know. And God is speaking through his messengers to the world, and the message we have is the same one. It's the only saving message that we're going to get. It's the only one the world is going to get. The one that they preached is the same one we preach. Nothing has changed. The end will come when and only when that gospel message has been preached to all nations as a testimony to them. And that's Jesus' own words. And that has not yet been accomplished. So it is a waste of energy, and it's a misplacement of focus to talk about, do you think this or that thing is an indication that Jesus is coming soon? Is this a sign of the end times? You know, some political event, some weather event, some guy speaking in tongues. Is it a sign? Okay, no, it's not a sign. Okay, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. But so has every generation, since Peter said those words, been a crooked and perverse generation. Okay? You will know when the signs of the end start to happen. Jesus said you would know. And if you have to ask, is such and such a sign of the end? Well, the answer is no. It's not a sign. So I have a couple of verses from a song by a guy called Greg, middle initial X. Last name Vols, V-O-L-Z, Greg X. Vols. He puts this in a song, and it's called Living for the Bell. Okay, he writes a song about how when people are just waiting for the end to come, is the end yet? They get complacent. They get useless. Okay, so here's what he said. Illustration from, you know, everyday life. Here's the first verse. The blue-collar men mill around the dock. Their work is forgotten as they watch the clock. A few more minutes and they're through for the day. In their minds, they're already driving away. The manager says, you ought to be there some night if you don't think the dead can come back to life. Okay? Because they're living for the bell, like a fighter that fell, right? Just wait and bring the bell. Because when you leave, it's just as well because your heart's not in it when you're living for the bell. Okay, then he has another verse, which you teachers will appreciate. I won't read you that, but you know how you can't teach kids anything in the last few minutes of the day because they're just waiting to be freed, right? All they're doing is watching the clock. Okay, last verse says this. The meeting is cooking. The preacher is hot. Collection's been taken. Sinners on the spot. They sing about Jesus is coming again, and they can't wait till they fly away with him. But there's a lot to get done before the end of the show, but it's hard to get to it when you just want to go. Okay? Does that sound familiar? Our Lord gave us a commission. Preach him. He didn't want us to waste a lot of energy and anxiety about, is it the end times yet? Do you think we're getting close to the end? Is this the last days? Okay? You can read Christian writings from the 500s, the 1200s, the 1700s. You can read Christian writers saying, good heavens, aren't these days just so terrible? Can the Lord's return be very far off? Okay? Well, listen to what Jesus said and then answer your own question. Has the gospel been preached yet to every nation under heaven? Have all heard yet? If not, then it's not the end, okay? You keep your nose to the grindstone, patience, endurance, holiness, the long haul, okay? We had the last generation pass their baton down to us. We most likely will pass it on as well. Just make plans to pass on the baton. It's because it's not about us or any particular generation. This is one great long project of the Holy Spirit. Preach Jesus until all have heard. Okay, what do you say? Do you think we have had enough end times hysteria? Okay, are there enough books on the market about the end times? Have you had enough prophecy conferences? Okay, I know you just want to go. We all just want to go. But stop watching the clock and concentrate on your labors in the gospel, because souls matter to God and souls are only saved by the gospel. They're not saved by prophecy conferences. Okay? Encourage your brothers and sisters to keep themselves from getting sidetracked and caught up in end times excitement and focus on the task at hand, the gospel to all people, so that when our Master eventually does come, he will find his church working. He will find us still preaching him, and he will be very well pleased with us. All right, thanks be to God for his word. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the things that you have revealed to us. We thank you for the gospel. We pray, Lord, that we would love the gospel, that our hearts and our mouths would be filled with gospel truth, that we would be concerned for souls, that we would love the lost and be ready to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all that matters. He is sufficient. He is beautiful. He is wonderful. He is lovely. He is what our souls all need. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being in our lives. Thank you for redeeming us to God and giving us hope for the future. Help us, Lord, to do your will in every way and to be diligent about the task that you have assigned to us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. May your word have its good effect today. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.